Guruve Guruchandraya Radhikayai Tudalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabalabhapahimam Namo Vrindavanangaya Tubhyam Golokamalane Purnabrahma Tapatraya Namo Govardhanaya cha Vancha Kalpataruvishcha Kripa Sindubhyaeva cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Madasya Maru Sanchara Kinam Gam Gokulon Mukhyam Santa Pushnat Vimam Snigdaha Karna Kasara Sanido. This is a verse written by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. It's an invocation. And he offers a prayer to his audience. So we're finding that a very appropriate today. He says that just as a lake gives shelter to a cow that's suffering in the desert, similarly, he says, my writing, or in this case, this katha, is just like a cow. It's trying to go to Vrindavan, but is suffering on the desert of my mouth. May the saintly devotees, whose ears are like a lake, Karnakasara Sanido, give shelter to these words of mine. So, over the next few days, we'd like to try to speak something, a little, about Krishna's meeting with the gopis in Kurukshetra. This is from the 82nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. And we'll also be reading some things from a number of commentaries we had translated for this, and from Gopal Champu and a few different sources. Before we begin, I'd like to offer my respectful obeisances to my revered spiritual master, Sri Srimad Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj. We're just trying to do this on his order to please him, and my Param Gurudev Srila Prabhupada, my Parapara Gurudev Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to Sachinandan Maharaj, Mother Irmala, and all the senior Vaishnavas who are here. I'm not qualified to speak in front of them, but as we said last year, I think, you may have a dance instructor who's very expert. He's a dance guru of Odissi dance. And he has a little boy who's about 6 months old. And the little boy can't even walk yet. But the little boy is seeing his father dance, is trying to do something. And it gives some pleasure to the father. So I hope that our clumsy attempts at speaking something bring some pleasure to Sachinanda Maharaj and the other devotees. So, Radha and Krishna's Prem Leela is like a river. It's known as Premadhara, the river of love. Every river has two embankments. Similarly, this Premadhara, this river of love, also has two embankments. These are known as the Sambhog Tatta, the embankment of union, and the Vipralamba Tatta, or the embankment of separation. Separation is a very important part of the loving pastimes of the divine couple. For union to be there, there must also be separation. Union and separation are inseparable parts of love. They're very natural, just as the day and the night. If there was no night, where would be the glory of the day? Just as the Padma River, in its course, sometimes it's destroying one bank, and on the other bank, it's building it up. On one bank, there's some sadness and loss, and on the other bank, there's new life. So in the same way, the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna move like this way. This meeting and separation, there's something like the light and dark colors on a painter's palette. And the pendulum of love is always swinging between these two, of union and separation. Don't think that this separation of the Brijbasis and Krishna is something mundane. It's the most terribly painful thing for the devotees to be separated from their spiritual master, from the other Vaishnavas, and from Krishna. Is the most horrific kind of pain. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he's written in this regard. Sunyayate mahagoshtam girindro jagarayate vyagratundayate kundam jivatu rahitashyame. He wrote this after the separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. And then after Rupa and Sanatan left this world, Raghunath Das Goswami was feeling intense pain. And he said that out of separation from the beloved of my heart, this wonderful land of Braj seems to be a great void. Giri Govardhan has become like a python to swallow me. And Radha Kund has become like the gaping mouth of a tiger. But in a very inconceivable way, this most horrific pain of separation is also the most wonderful kind of ecstasy. Srila Sanatana Goswami has described this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Davanalichi yamunam mitambhavet tatatadapyagni sikeva yadvat visham chapiyusham aho sudha visham mriti sukham jivanam artivaibhavam. He says that in this love of separation, the flames of a fire become like the nectar of the Jamuna. And the Jamuna's nectar becomes like the flames of a fire. Poison becomes nectar, and nectar becomes poison. Death becomes happiness, and life becomes torture. It's a great composite of contradictions, this kind of divine love. It's a very, very difficult thing to understand, sometimes for the devotees. How is it that Krishna left Vrindavan? In a few months in Mayapur, we're going to give another seminar called Krishna Never Leaves Vrindavan. And at that time, we'd like to address some of the points we're going to touch on today in a more elaborate way. The Bhagavatam describes that Akura was sent by Kamsa to Vrindavan to bring Krishna. When Akura arrived in Vrindavan, what happened? Who did he speak to? What did he say to Nanda Maharaj? What was Mother Yashoda's reaction on hearing about her beloved Gopal going to Mathura? What was the reaction of the Brijbasis? This is an important subject matter for us to hear something about in light of our topic. Akura came to Vrindavan and he sought out Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj took him to a quiet place away from his house. And Akura spoke to him all night long. Akura told him, "Oh, Nandaraj, Vasudev is your brother, your great friend, and your well-wisher. Devaki and Vasudev are suffering terribly. They're imprisoned in their home by Kamsa. And Kamsa is coming to visit them every day. And every day he's abusing them and using very foul and angry language with them. He's demanding to know how it was that they managed to transfer their eighth child somewhere else. And he's wanting to know who were their helpers in that secret mission. Who was it that opened the prison gate for them? Tell me. Who was it that unlocked your shackles?" Vasudev, Akura said, just sits there and doesn't reply. And sometimes he sheds tears. Sometimes Kamsa raises his sword as if he's going to cut them to pieces. Kamsa was shouting so loudly at them that even people many blocks away, they could hear his shouting, and they were all trembling in fear to hear the fury of Kamsa. He told him, Akura told Nanda Maharaj, that all the Yadavas in Mathura are afraid of Kamsa. Whenever Kamsa sees any of the Yadavas, he begins shouting abusive words at them. He thinks that all of them are plotting to kill him. He thinks even that his own father, Ugrasena, is involved in some conspiracy against him. And so he put Ugrasena Maharaj in prison. Those Yadavas, Akura told Nanda Maharaj, those Yadavas who are able to leave, they've already fled from Mathura. And when he hears about their departure, Kamsa becomes furious and he threatens to send his soldiers after them. Akura said, "Oh, Nandaraj, all the wise people of Mathura are in hiding. I'm the only servant of Kamsa who's staying behind to obey his commands. And for that reason, he's taken me into his confidence." Akura told him, "The only reason I'm staying in Mathura is because I want to be there to see that time when Kamsa is killed. I'm looking forward to that day." When Nanda Maharaj heard the words of Akura, Nanda Maharaj was very, very soft-hearted. He began to cry. And he bowed his head down. It was intolerable for him to think about the condition of Vasudev and Devaki and the other residents of Mathura. Akura told Nanda Maharaj, "Unless this great sinner Kamsa has killed, Mathura will never be peaceful." He said, "Nandaraj, only your son Gopal, only Krishna has the power to kill Kamsa. I'm sure of it. It was for this purpose that Krishna took his birth." "Just this morning," Akura said, "Kamsa told me, I've planned for a Dhanur Yajna. And I want you to invite all the different powerful warriors and wrestlers of different countries to come and take place. And Akura said that Kongsa sent me here to invite you, Nanda Maharaj, to come, as well as your sons, Krishna and Balaram, and your relatives. O Nanda Raj, if you're merciful to me now, my life will be successful. Please come to Mathura. Please bring Krishna and Balaram with you. When Krishna and Balaram come to Mathura, his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, will get new life by seeing him. Because Akura, he thinks that Vasudeva and Devaki are the parents of Krishna. Actually, they're not. This is a long subject matter. Srila Prabhupada comments on this in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And Rupa Goswami, Baladeva Dibhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and all of our acharyas, they've described that actually Krishna is directly the son of Yashoda. It was his Vasudeva expansion who appeared in the prison of Kamsa. But it was Swayam Rup Govinda, Nanda Nandan Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, who was born directly as a son of Mother Yashoda. And the proof is the Bhagavatam, Garga Sanghita, Brahma Vivarta Purana, and different literatures describe that Nanda Maharaj cut the umbilical cord at the time of Krishna's birth. So we sometimes comment that unless that umbilical cord was very long and going all the way across the Jamuna River to Mathura, it's solid proof that Krishna is the son of Yashoda. But the residents of Mathura, they have this idea that Krishna is really the son of Vasudeva. And it creates a kind of tension, a kind of loving dynamic tension. So he begged him, you please bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Nanda Maharaj, he listened very attentively to every word that Akura said. He contemplated on those words. He took them in his heart. And all night long, he thought very deeply about Akura's words. Then early the next morning, Akura, Nanda Maharaj, took Akura with him to his house. And he sat Akura down in the outside part of the house. He said, you please wait here. I'm going to go in to see Yashoda. When Nanda Maharaj arrived in the inner part of the house, he found something unusual. Yashoda was sitting by herself, crying, holding her head down. Nanda Maharaj was very surprised, because always at that time of the day, he would see Gopal sitting on the lap of Yashoda. But this morning was different. And Yashoda was sitting by herself. Because word had spread already through Braj that Akura was coming to take Krishna away. When we speak about Vipralamba or separation, there's four different types which Rupa Goswami speaks of in his literatures. These are known as Purvarag, Man, Prema Vaichitya, and Prabhas. Purvarag is before Radha and Krishna have met, but they've heard something about each other. And they're feeling separation, even though they've never met. So much, I want to meet him. I want to meet her. Man is loving sulkiness. When the lover becomes angry for some reason with the beloved and refuses to see him, and it gives great pleasure to Krishna. Prema Vaichitya is a very inconceivable state of being. It's when the lover and the beloved are together, but they're feeling separation. That takes place at Prem Sarovar near Barsana, when Krishna and Radharani were together, and Radharani was in Krishna's lap, and a bumblebee was coming, attracted by the lotus-like face of Radhika. And Madhu Mangal drove it away and said, "I've driven Madhusudan out." Madhusudan means a bumblebee. But Madhusudan is also a name for Krishna. And when Radharani heard that Madhusudan was gone, she began to cry, feeling separation from Krishna. But she's sitting on Krishna's lap. This is prema vaichitya, very inconceivable condition. The fourth and most intense type of separation is known as prabhas. This prabhas is of two types, dura prabhas and sudura prabhas. Dura prabhas is when Krishna goes to herd the cows in the morning. And for some hours during the day, his parents and the gopis, they can't see him. And they're feeling some separation. Sudura prabhas is also known as matura prabhas. It's when Krishna leaves Braj. And of all the different types of separation, sudura prabhas is the most intense. The sudura prabhas, again, Rupa Goswami says, has three different divisions. These are known as bhavi, bhuta, and bhavan. Bhavan is in the act of happening, when a kura is taking Krishna on his chariot away from Vrindavan. Bhuta is when Krishna's gone, and he's in Mathura, Dwarka, and the Brijbasis are feeling separation from him. It's already happened. And bhavi is that separation, the sudura prabhas, that they're feeling even before it happens. And so word very quickly spread in Braj that a kura had come to take Krishna away. Mother Yashoda was crying. And Nanda Maharaj, seeing this sight, he could understand everything immediately. Oh, Mother Yashoda has hidden Krishna. She doesn't want us to find him. So, Nanda Maharaj, he sat down with Yashoda and he began to speak to her all the things that Akura had spoken to him the night before. Mother Yashoda had many doubts and many objections. But one by one, Nanda Maharaj very patiently answered all of her doubts and all of her questions until finally Yashoda agreed to allow Krishna to leave Vrindavan with his father to go to Mathura. Mother Yashoda was very simple and she trusted her husband. She then brought Gopal from his hiding place and taking him by the hand, she came outside the house with Nanda Maharaj. When the gopis of Vrindavan saw Krishna coming outside of the house with Mother Yashoda, they felt as if Nandarani Yashoda was taking their life from their bodies by taking Krishna from her home. They began to lament. They couldn't speak anything. They were just standing there stunned, staring. They felt they had no right to obstruct the wish of Krishna's parents. Mother Yashoda, her eyes were shedding tears like anything. She took the hands of Nanda Maharaj in her hands and she said, "My dear husband, I'm handing over my son to you. He's more dear to me than my own life. Please always keep him with you and bring him back to me soon." When the gopis of Braj heard Mother Yashoda's words and they saw what was going on, the sound of their crying filled all the four quarters of Braj. Seeing the gopis crying, Yashoda went to them. And whatever things that Nanda Maharaj had told her, she began to speak to the gopis. But Mother Yashoda's words had no effect on the gopis. And the pitiful sound of their crying simply increased. The gopis, they told Mother Yashoda, Re-rinindaye-ye Dishanivehine Vatsam nijam vyagra kore samarpya Shaktasi darharham idam praveshtum Riktam griham tena katam tvameka. They spoke very harshly to Mother Yashoda. Re nindaye, you are merciless. You have no heart, Yashoda. Re dishanavine, and you're a fool. What are you doing? But some nijam, your own son, you're placing in the hands of this tiger-like kangsa. How will you be able to enter into your empty home without your son? Your home should be set on fire. What use is it without Krishna? Yashoda listened to the words of the gopis. And she told them, please understand. She said, I know very well that if a wise person takes something valuable, then there's no chance of that thing being damaged or lost. My husband, the Gopa King, he's a very wise man. Indirectly, Yashoda is instructing them in something. She's telling them that by saying the Gopa King, she's saying that he's our king. It's his instruction. We can't disobey it. And you can't disobey it either. Because he's the king of Braj. He's a wise man. And a Krura. He's a saint. He's a very saintly person. He's his son. A Salvaka Muni. Who himself is a Siddha Mahatma. I've placed my son in their hands. Surely they'll honor my request. And they'll bring him back to me very soon. I have confidence in this. And so then Akura took Krishna on his chariot and he began to leave Braj. It's described at that time that the gopis, speaking amongst themselves, they became overwhelmed with separation from Krishna. And they began to cry out. Vrindavane gopaganascha gopyo vilokya govinda viyoga kinam radham jagushasru vilochanabhyam govinda damo dadamadaveti bolo govinda damo Dada Madhaveti Govinda Dhamma Govinda Dhamma Dada Madhaveti Govinda Dhamma Dada Madhaveti Govinda Dhamma Dada Madhaveti.
deity. Evam bruvana viraya brisham brajashriyav krishna virakta manasa evam bruvana navihar brajashriyam krishna visikta manasa visri jalajam rududas masusaram visri jalajam rududas masusaram Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Bolo Govinda Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Bolo Even before Krishna had left, Srimati Radharani and the gopis became overwhelmed in separation, hearing that a courier was coming to take Krishna away. And with tears in their eyes, they began to sing. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti After speaking these words, the ladies of Braj, who were so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by the imminent separation from him. They forgot all their worldly shame. Whereas before, the gopis, they were shy to approach Krishna in the presence of their parents and their husbands and the elders of Braj. But this time, they gave up everything and they came running before that chariot, crying out, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Kamsasya dutena yadaivanito Brindavanantad vasudeva suno Kamsasya dutena yadaivanito Brindavanantad vasudeva suno Rurora gopi bhavanasya madye Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Bolo Govinda Damodara Madhaveti When Akrura had finally taken both Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda was simply crying and crying. It's described by the famous poet of Orissa named Bhaktakavi Gopal Krishna in his wonderful book Mathura Vijay that when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan the gopis came and threw themselves in front of the chariot. They held on to Krishna's clothes. They held on to the wheels. They began offering prayers to Akura. Please don't take him away. Seeing that Krishna was still leaving the gopis, they then began to speak to him. Hey Krishna, we've heard from Garga Muni that you're the same Ramachandra who appeared in Dwarpar Yuga. We think that this is true. And just as Ramachandra left Ayodhya, so now you're leaving Vrindavan. Ramachandra, he left with his brother Lakshman, and you're leaving with Balaram. But there's one difference between you. Ramachandra took Sita with him. So at least you should take Radharani with you. They told Krishna, "We know you're just like Ramachandra, but you're worse. In Ram Leela, we've heard that shamelessly you hid behind a tree, and with an arrow, you pierced the heart of Bali and killed him mercilessly. In Ram Leela, you killed one Bali. But if you leave Braj now, you're going to kill so many Balis." Bali in Sanskrit is the name of the brother of Sugriv, who Ramachandra killed. And Bali in Sanskrit also means young girl. If you leave Vrindavan in this way, you'll kill all of us. Rupa Goswami, he says at that time, Krishna turned, "Etastunam nayate kiratir arti mishastamishra bhavi bhavya puna apimaya mangala sangamova." And Krishna told them, "My dear Brijbasis, somehow you spend these most distressful days and nights. In the future, there will be union. I'll return." Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Goprema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.